Before we do that, I'd like to preach to you for just a little while, taking a break from Luke where we've been. But I want you to turn your Bibles, if you brought them, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter number 24. While you turn your place there, find your place in Joshua, I did hear this story about this son that was away at school long, long ago, and he needed some money from his dad. This was long before cell phones or phones, for that matter. And he sent a telegram to his dad, and he wanted to keep it short because he wanted it to be cheap. And so he wanted to tell his dad that he needed some funds, and he said, "No mun, no money, no mun, no fun, your son." And he was hoping his dad would get the hint to send me some money on in here. His dad did get the telegram, went down to the telegraph office and got that. And he thought he would reply because he had the money to send money or pay for a longer telegram, but he didn't. He just said, I almost said text him back. He didn't have phones. He sent him a telegram back, said, "Too bad, so sad, your dad." So I think some of you can relate to a dad like that. So that's a wonderful story. Now, as I heard one dad say, how does it feel to want? So I didn't say it was heartful. I just said that's what he said. In Joshua 24, we're going to look at the verse that was at the end of our hallway in the house that I grew up in, the trailer we grew up in. Mom had a home interior plaque that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If I'd had a picture, I'd have put it up here on the screens. And that old picture, that plaque that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to get that from verse number 15. But if you'd look at verse number 13 of Joshua 24. "And I've given you a land for which you did not labor." Now, we're on the tail end here of a message, an encouraging message, but also pulling out some decisions from Joshua to the people. And he's telling them about what God has done for them. You know, they've crossed over into the promised land that was Canaan's land and the promise that God had given. In verse 13, "I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The obvious blessings of God are shown there in verse number 13. But there's a challenge to serve him in 14. But then there's the challenge to serve God in verse number 15. I was doing some research and looking. According to the National Center for Fathering, there are more than 20 million children in the U.S. that live in a home without the physical presence of a father. Millions more have dads that are there in body, but they're really not engaged. They're not really taking the family and making it be what God wants it to be. According to that same website, millions of people are in trouble in other ways. That 71% of high school dropouts come from homes that don't have a dad in them. Also, 71% of teenage pregnancies come from homes that don't have a dad in them. 85% of behavioral disorders that teachers and educators have to work with come from those same homes. 90% of homeless and runaways come from homes without a dad, fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides and 85% of the youth in prison right now come from those homes without dads. In 1960, the United States Census Bureau said that 8% of American homes were with a mother only. In 2012, it's gone up just a bit, but not much since then. It was 24.4%. So a little now, over 25% of the homes are mom only. And we have a problem where men in homes across our land don't stand up and say, as the young men did just a little bit ago, "I want to be that man. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. I want to take my family in one arm and God with the other, as it were, and I want to lead the way that God is leading me." I was reading about the lion, the king of the jungle. His roar, they said, can be heard if weather conditions are right from 5 miles away. There's only four animals in the big cat family that can roar at all, the lion, tiger, the leopard, and the jaguar. But of course, we know the lion is the king of the jungle. This roar, they say, can lift the dust off the ground. It just can vibrate and vibrate the metal frames of vehicles that he roars at. But they say that as they study these out, there's a reason why these lions roar. For one, they ward off intruders. They're a protector. Two, they startle the prey and then take them down. They're a provider. They reunite and bring together the pride. That's the family. They reunite the scattered pride members. They're a leader. And then lastly, you probably knew this, when they attract their females that way, and they are a partner. They say, though, as they studied out, that the lion rarely roars outside of his territory. There's no need to, because the reasons that he roars are not necessary in those areas. Usually he roars at night because it's a time of the vulnerable time for his pride. He is saying, this land is the land that is mine. I protect, I provide, I lead, and then I partner. And I want to ask a question to men this morning. When was the last time you roared for your territory? Not that you grumbled and that you moaned and begroaned and complained about society or what your family's not doing or what they are doing. I'm not talking about in that way, but that you said to yourself and to the people around, I'm here for you. I'm here to protect and provide and be everything that God wants me to be. I think about this passage that we read, and Joshua was telling these people up in verse number 13 that there's blessings from God. You didn't plant these vineyards, these olive yards, and all of these things that we've got. You didn't even plant them. It's showing the sheer blessings of God. And if you've got a family today, you must step back and say, if you're honest, that this is the blessing of God, because it's not anything that I could do. I've always been very, very proud and thankful for my three children. I'm blessed that Amy is the mother of our three, and I'm privileged to get to be the dad. I've always been proud of them and always been thankful for them. I've not always been happy with a few things that they've done, but that's just kids. But I think about this statement that Joshua makes. He says, these blessings come from God, and all of the things that I have, I don't deserve them, but yet God has seen fit to bless me with them. And it shows me in verse 14, there's a need to serve God. Serve him therefore in sincerity and in truth. But then the challenge is given in verse number 15, where Joshua says, I'm going to draw this literal line in the ground here. I'm going to draw this. And as for me and my house, we're going to be over there on this side, and we're going to serve the Lord. I want you to think about this, the family of this statement. The family of this statement is here, me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wives. Be a whole lot of people be a lot better off. They just love the one that God gave them and forget about all the rest of them and save a whole lot of money and trouble and time and a lot of heartache. Husbands, love your wives. What I'm saying is that's an ownership. Love your wife. Not in a wicked way of owning a person, but your wives. So ought men, it says a few verses later, to love their wives. He that loveth his wife, it says on another verse in Ephesians 6, verse number 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And so we see that Joshua was talking about my house. I hope that everybody, after they leave this room and go out to the car show and have a good time, I hope you take some gospel tracts and you take them and you invite somebody, says, oh, this is my church. You're not meaning you own it. You're not meaning that it's dictated by what you do. And I go to pastors' fellowships and I say, this, my church is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I love our church and I love the people of our church. But when I say that, I'm not saying that I determine everything that goes on down there. I'm identifying with it. I'm saying, this is my church. I love my church and my church loves me. We are together in this. And the same it is when you say that about your family. This is my wife and these are my kids. You're not saying that in some sick way. You're just saying, I belong and they do too. Joshua, he owned his family. He was obligated to his family. If you have a family, you're obligated. You're on the hook. You're responsible. If you own a rental house in this room, or sitting in this room, you own a rental house, and your renter calls later and says, hey, there's water running everywhere. You're responsible for that. Now, I know you say, well, I didn't break it. I know, but it's your house. You've got to get some things taken care of to get it fixed. You're responsible. Same it is with your family. If they go out and they say, listen, I'm broke down. I need somebody to get me. I don't say, I'm going to bed. I can't help you with that. We have an obligation. And Dad, you have an obligation to fix what's wrong in your family as well. I see that there's that obligation, but I also see this, that there's the obstinance of this leader. Obstinate, the definition is a trait of being difficult to handle or overcome. Oftentimes we think about obstinance, and it is in a negative way, and it certainly shouldn't be seen in a positive way. He's obstinate. I think about that definition, the being difficult to handle or overcome, and I see some of you nodding your heads like, wow, yeah, I got that. I had that dad. He was difficult to overcome. But it seems like we are obstinate about the things we shouldn't be obstinate about, and we're not obstinate about the things that we should be obstinate about. There are some things you should be obstinate about. There are some things that you should be obstinate about. This family is going to be a Christian family. It's if we were making the statement that Joshua did, he didn't say it in that fashion because it's different age. But if he were saying it today, he'd say, as for me and my house, we're going to be a Christian family. There's nothing wrong with saying that we're going to build our lives, our family on this book. This is the obstinance of that statement that we're going to be a Christian family. We're going to try to seek the Lord. I know that I see moms that are obstinate about those teeth brushing times. A kid begs and pleads, I don't want to do it. I don't have to do it. I shouldn't have to do it. These teeth are going to fall out anyways. They're baby teeth. But mom still says, no, you've got to do it. She's obstinate about that. And well, she should be. They're obstinate about when kindergarten comes. They say, well, we got to either start homeschooling you here. We got to send you this school or this school. You got to go to school. And you say, Mom, how about no school? No can do. She's obstinate. And well, she should be. But it's time for dads to stand up and say, I'm going to be obstinate about the gospel. I'm going to be obstinate about the Bible. I'm going to be obstinate about what our family does. I'm going to be obstinate about there's some exposure that I don't want my children to have to be exposed to, I should say. We're going to be obstinate about honesty and obstinate about character and about ethics and all of these things. There's an obstinance that was here in Joshua's voice, as you could almost hear it say, we will serve the Lord. I see the family of this statement, but I want you to bring this into your thought about it. We will serve the Lord. I see the faith of that statement. The faith of that statement. We will serve the Lord. I don't see it in Scripture anywhere where Joshua turns around to Mrs. Joshua and say, hey, honey, you mind if I speak up and say, we're going to serve the Lord together? Neither has he seen all of his kids and grandkids grow and serve the Lord yet, but by faith he is saying that we will serve the Lord. Our son, of course, you know, he's married. They had our second grandchild, and the girls are both engaged to be married, but we've been praying for them long before this era of their life, before they were even born, that God would, if God gave us children, they would raise up and honor him in their lives. They would love the Lord, and then they would love their families, and they would go to church, and they would be a young person and then married person eventually that God would be pleased with. But I pray that not for my kids only. I pray that for your kids too, by faith asking that God would raise them up. And I pray, as the young men sang, that they would be those men that would stand and love the Lord. And I pray that young ladies of the church and the older ladies of the church, all of us, that we might stand for the Lord in all of these things. We haven't seen it happen yet. But by faith, the Bible says, by faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Joshua hadn't seen all of his kids live for the Lord yet. But he said, by faith, I want to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I bring this illustration. Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. And he's got that idea of faith and trusting Timothy that I believe you're going to stay in the vein in which you've been taught. You had a grandmother that taught it. You had a mother that taught it. I believe you're going to stay in that vein by faith. I want you to stay plugging along for the Lord. But I think sometimes in our lives that we give up on things too easily. Well, I'd like for my children to serve the Lord, but, you know, they're going to have to make their own decision. Of course they will. That's their decision to make. They're going to make it, but we're going to make it very hard for them to decide not to stand up and live for Jesus. Just like if I go back to the brushing of your teeth, if your children are out of the house, guess what? You can't demand, you don't call every night, honey, it's mom. I know you're 35, but did you brush your teeth tonight? But you tried your best while you had them in your house to teach them some hygiene habits that would follow them all their life. That's all we can do as Christians as well. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, seeking the Lord in their lives and wanting them to follow Him in all of their days. But I see the last thing, and that's the fight of this statement, if I could say it like this. I see a lot of grit and determination with Joshua. We will. I already told you about the faith of it, but the fight of it, we will. And I'm afraid that we've become too easygoing on certain things. We don't have to do that. We don't have to stand there. We don't have to continue if we don't want to. There should be some things in your home that you say, no, these are non-negotiables. We aren't going to scream and fight and cuss around. That's not how our family is going to behave. And we need to stand there. More times than I can remember, I'm sure, but people would come visit as I was growing up, and it would get church time, revival time, whatever. And Dad would say, well, we're going to church. We'll be back in about an hour and a half. You can either come go with us, or you can stay here, and we'll be back after we're done. Nothing wrong with that. Just saying, because family came in, saying, well, I'm going to head to church. We'll be right back. You can go with us, or you can not. There should be some things that you've decided that we're just always going to do this. We're always going to be a praying family. And then when your kids say, I don't want to, Dad, come on, we're going to gather together in prayer. We're going to be a family that goes to church. It's Sunday morning. Let's go to church. Oh, Dad, I don't want to. Well, come on, let's go anyway. I know that John Wayne, the old movie star, wasn't in every area of his life somebody you could pattern, but you kind of think about John Wayne as he would be in all those westerns and movies, coming in and just saying, it's going to be this way. I almost picture Joshua in that way, whether he was or not, I have no idea. But just with that determination that we are going to do it. And I wonder if God isn't speaking to the hearts of some dads in this room. Young people, they will follow in many ways what Dad does. But Dad has to be determined that he's going to live his life leading his family to live for the Lord. I can see Joshua sticking his chest out and squaring his jaw up and putting his kids and wife behind him and saying, we are going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be perfectly clear today. I don't ever condone somebody being unkind and abrasive and contentious and ugly. And all of the commands in Scripture apply to Dad just like they could apply to every other member of the family. You don't get a pass just because you're Dad. So I'm not at all supposing or recommending that somebody be anything less than a Christian gentleman as a dad. But there is a lot of weight on you as a dad to stand up for your family and be the man that God wants you to be. So although we shouldn't be that unkind, ungracious person, we should, as a dad, roar sometimes to say, that influence won't be in our home. Nothing wrong with Dad saying, no, we won't watch that, not in this house. Nothing wrong with Dad saying, no, that's not the atmosphere we want, not in this house. Now, I understand that so many things happen in the lives of people that make it so that a dad won't be in the home. But I've watched family after family, when this has happened, that God has provided a grandpa or an uncle or a neighbor or a pastor or staff or somebody to help come along. God has a way of working all that together. But I'm saying to you men that you ought to be that man that God wants you, desires, and commands for you to be. As Joshua, the family that he owned and the faith that he showed and the fight that he seemed to put forth to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, sometimes we look at that and we think that's the person that is, that John Wayne character that says it with such strength. I've seen some people who are very mild, meek, and their temperament is very, very low key. But they've said in a low key fashion, I want our home to be somewhere that pleases the Lord. I don't care if you're that one with the bravado or that one that speaks it so low that you can hardly hear it. But the yielding ourselves to God to live for Him like He wants us to be. I believe that's what's missing in our country. I believe that's what's missing in our churches. Amen. We need some men to stand up and say, by God's grace, as for me and my house, some of you young men in here aren't married right yet. Make a decision today. When God gives me a family, we're going to serve the Lord. And some of you that have a family already and you haven't been the dad you're supposed to be, I challenge you to get right with the Lord and say, I want to be the man that God wants me to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And to those that don't have a man in the home, I challenge you to do all you can to still raise your children, help your grandchildren live the life that God wants them to live. I can tell you this, that if we're going to be the man that God wants us to be, men, first of all, you're going to have to come to a place where you realize who you are and you come to Jesus Christ in salvation. You can't be the dad at all that you're supposed to be until you're saved. That's a good Bible word. And what that is when you realize that your sin is come up before the Lord, the God of creation, and there's nothing that you can do about it in yourself, and that your sin, though, would make you not a candidate for heaven, but instead doom you to a place called hell. And then when you realize that you will know also that the gospel that I told you we should be committed to, the gospel is the truth that Jesus died, was buried, but rose again as alive forevermore. You believe that gospel and you receive Christ as your Savior. You turn to Him from everything else. That's the way you begin to be that dad that you're supposed to be. And then after that, you get to a place where you say, I'm realizing that my life is not for me. My life is not for fun all the time. My life is to be used for the Lord. I have more fun serving the Lord than I ever would have if I hadn't served the Lord. And we need to come to that place after salvation. You say, my life is for other people. I lead by helping my family, my wife, my children, my church. And then continue living that way as a legacy, continuation. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be fancy. But you're supposed to be faithful. Some of the greatest people in churches around this country are not who you think. They're not the ones that are the brightest and the biggest and the best, so to speak. They're the ones that are behind the scenes, faithfully serving. And God says, that's what's required. And so may you men today be those men that God wants you to be. And then may all of us, ladies alike and young people, apply these principles to our lives to be the people. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I hope that you draw a line in your sand as well. And you say, as for, and maybe it's just you. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Maybe there's nobody else in your house. You're it. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't need a pep talk. I don't need coercing. I'm going to serve the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that you would help each of us commit to you. Our desire, dear Lord, and our commitment to follow you. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be the men that you want us to be. I pray that we'd be the ladies that you want us to be. I pray we'd be the young people you want us to be. I pray, dear Lord, that we would put that line in the sand. As for me, and maybe that's as far as our house goes, as for me, I will serve the Lord. But if there's more of us, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As they play this morning, if God's spoken to your heart, let's not throw that out and just discard it. Let's actually do something about it. If God has moved on your heart to be the man that he wants you to be the woman that he wants you to make the home before God that he wants you to make, why don't you make a commitment to him? If you're able to, stand together with us, please. Brother Daniel's down here in the front, would love to take some time to help you with any spiritual matter that you have. Maybe there's something going on in your life you'd love for somebody to pray about with you. Please come. But maybe you're a man, a lady, a young person in this room, and you say, I want my life to count for Christ. I want to stand. I want to, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. I told you the way to be a father that would be pleasing is, first of all, have your sins forgiven, have your name written in heaven, be on your way to glory. If you're in here and you need to be saved, please come. Let Brother Daniel or someone take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you need to be baptized. You are saved, but you'd be baptized. Would you step out and come? Let us get you lined up to do it real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come present yourself for that. Maybe you've been wandering far away from God, far away from home, far away from where you're supposed to be, but you want to get it right today. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for that. As they play another verse, if God's speaking to your heart, you come. What a great day it is to get right with the Lord. What a great day it is to commit to God. God, I want to live for you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen to that. Thank you. May look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church today. I want to invite you men and boys to the choir tonight. We're going to sing Living by Faith. And they're going to meet up here at the choir loft 610. You say, I can't sing. Daniel said, it's all right. And he said, come on, all men, if you'd like to, and young men, you come on up. They'll practice about 6:10 on until church time. That will replace our regular choir for tonight, and we'll have a good time. So, men, if you're able to come back, you run through that song a time or two, and then it'll be a wonderful, wonderful time to come together, and that's this evening. Brother Shannon, would you mind coming to dismiss us in prayer? And one of the young men that sang earlier was his son to Shannon. Shannon, Katie, one of our deacon's wives here at the church, and appreciate them. He's going to dismiss us in prayer. Ask God to bless our hot dogs and our hamburgers. If you're able to stay, then we'd love to have you. And we're going to go over and look at some good cars. Thank you for being in church tonight. My wife and I usually would be out in the lobby. We'll be there for just a little bit, then we'll head on over to fellowship. But if you need us for anything, please stop by and see us. We'll certainly be glad to get to talk to you. Brother Shannon, you pray for us.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the challenge from your word. Lord, to commit. Lord, to live for you. Just to commend our life to live for Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll leave here with that on our minds. Lord, that we'll make a commitment, both men, ladies, Lord, all of us together. Lord, we'll commit, Lord, for us to follow Christ and our house to be a testament of your goodness and your glory. Lord, we pray that as we're dismissed, Lord, for this time of fellowship and food, Lord, that you'll bless the food, bless all those that had a hand in this day and preparing for this day. And Lord, bless our families as we celebrate Father's Day today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.